lesson is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Second scripture lesson is Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We love Jesus.
Amen.
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 And we have been talking about some questions about him, right? Because we want to know a little bit more and more and more. I mean, even the people who believe in him, we have questions because we want to know more. And you know what? People outside the church, non-churched people, unchurched people, even anti-churched people, they also have some questions when they heard about Jesus, and when they heard about what church talks about Jesus. Maybe, would you please lower a little bit of this? Maybe this one is a little bit high. Maybe some of them are curious or skeptical. So we are trying to wrestle with those questions, and my hope and prayers are we have our answers from our heart to those questions, and we find our answer to Jesus' question. Because Jesus, I believe Jesus is asking you and me every day, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And today we are focusing on the teachings of Jesus with two questions. The first one is, how can we read some hard, tough teachings of Jesus? How do we read them? And the next question is, what are the central focus on Jesus' teachings and preaching? So let's begin with some hard teachings of Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, everyone, it is about our sexual kind of stuff, lust. Everyone who looks at a woman with lust have already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your right eye causes you to sin, you know what's going to happen, right? Tear it out. Throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Everyone knows this message. You know, years ago, I was invited to preach in a very conservative church. I love conservative. I don't mind. I love to go there and love them. But, I mean, they try to follow every single verses in the Bible in their lives, but I have never found any of them had an eye patch. None of them. None of them. Huh. Interesting. Then how do we read this verse? Did Jesus mean that? That harm? We know our body is the temple of God. We are so precious. That means our bodies also. God wants us to use our body in God's way. And now Jesus, nobody, even his disciples, nobody thought Jesus literally meant that. What Jesus is talking and asking with this teaching, it is, he says, this is really, really, and really important. He doesn't always want us to take it directly. He demands we take it seriously into our heart. Most of what Jesus says in his teaching, we are meant to take it seriously into our heart. He's trying to shake us up, and he's doing that in two ways. Jesus speaks prophetically. Get to the point. When he speaks like a prophet, usually in the Bible, prophets, they speak absolute black and white terms. Do it or not. Don't do it or not. They do not lay out all the exceptions to the rule. They just lay out the big rule because they see that the world has forgotten and they are trying to shake us up. But even the prophet knows there are some exceptions to the rule. And now we have Jesus. Jesus speaks by using the figure of speech so many times, which is called hyperbole, an exaggeration to make a point, clear point. We talk about this all the time. When I was little, my father and I, we have fought a lot. Oh, I can't go with him, my father. You know? The main point was about the room temperature and thermostat. Instead of fight, we made an agreement, you know. During the winter, I wanted to set a thermostat at 76, sometimes 78, sometimes 80. Because, I mean, I didn't want to have layers of stuff on me, and 76 or 78 was working perfectly fine with me. So during the winter, I was wearing a short and all the time at house. But my father wanted to be 66. My mother says, whatever, they just fight again, that's it. So it is like, it's a big difference, right? 66 and 76, or sometimes 80. So we walk and pass the thermostat. He turned it down to 66, and I turned it back to 76. He turned it to 66, and I turned it back to 76 again and again and again. Then finally, we made an agreement. Before dinner, we are going to have 76. And we have 66 back after dinner. I was okay with that because after dinner, I was ready to sleep. But every once in a while, he forgot the rule, and I shouted, Daddy! Sometimes I forgot the rule, and my father shouted, Paul! And one night, my father talked to me, I'm telling you, I told you so many times, you've got to lower the thermostat or I'm going to die. Literally going to die? Come on. He's trying to make a point. It is too hot that I cannot stand it, right? Now I'm grown up. So I have my thermostat. If you come to the parsonage during the winter, I have my thermostat at 66 or 68. I'm my father's son. If I had a son, that fight would have happened again. Again. But you know what I'm saying. This is how we speak. Let's say, I am hungry that I can eat a horse. Sorry, Steve. I hope your horse is fine. How, horse? How, really? On the screen before one of the slides, that says, she cried so long that she made a lake. Are you kidding? You see, somehow you find a similar in how Jesus speaks so many times because he has assured, he knew what was going to happen, and he has a short amount of time to shake up the world, and he is trying to make a clear point. And here is another example. Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Really? Really? You know, even some of us, those of us in, and many people around us in the lowest socioeconomic level in this country, we are rich, much more richer compared to many parts around the world. You see, what Jesus is trying to do is Jesus wants us to take it seriously, the message, not just literally, all the time. And even the disciple says, how can it be possible, Lord? Who can make it to the kingdom of God? Then Jesus said, you know what? You are not going to make it. But for God, everything is possible. What is Jesus trying to say? He's trying to say, you see, money messes with you when you put it in the center of your life. You don't mean that. But it becomes an idol. It becomes your God if you are not careful. It will mess up your family. It will mess up your value. In the end, it will destroy your soul. You cannot serve both God and money. And the Apostle Paul says this way, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Right. We know what he means. And Jesus speaks to us. Take it seriously. And here is what I see, sometimes hard teachings of Jesus. Let's read it. Let's interpret the hard, sometimes harsh saying of Jesus in the light of how Jesus actually acts. So he raises the bar, standard. He's saying, hey guys, this is the ideal. This is what God wants for your life. This is what God's will be for you and humankind. And it is your goal. And then the fact is that most of us, we cannot make it. With this in our mind, we need to take Jesus' teaching seriously into our heart. Let's talk about John's gospel. Compared to other gospels, which tell us about what Jesus did and what it was for, John's gospel focuses on what it means to have Jesus. The big idea is, before anything in creation came into being, there was God. God is the God of the universe. And God called for everything that exists. And the laws that govern the universe, that was designed by God. And everything has existence because of God. It is like Apostle Paul says, in God we live, move, and have our beings. The scripture says the source of life comes from God. So God is the God of the universe, and God is the God of the, source of life and the ruler of everything. But when it turns to our scripture, we also find that we are rebellious to God. Maybe we are not that good children to God sometimes. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the Bible can be summarized as the human being rebelling against the God of the universe. You see that from the Adam and Eve. And so many Israel kings who were against God. And what about the Israelite who turned away from God? We take it metaphorically, yet very seriously, because if it is our story, we find my story and your story in the Bible. We all know about the forbidden fruit, and we choose to listen to the voice of the serpent and eat the forbidden fruit. I do it, and I think you do it. And it continues in our lives and the world. The pain and brokenness of our world come from this. And here is the sign of our rebellion. Before we go to bed, 44 people will be murdered in the United States today. Before we go to bed, around 1,200 people will be murdered around the world. Before we go to bed, about 650 people will be sexually assaulted in the United States. And about 10,000 cases of child abuse will be reported, and 5 of them will die as a result of child abuse in the United States before we go to bed. And 18,000 children under the age of 5 will die around the world because of preventable disease and malnutrition before we go to bed tonight. Not because we do not have food, enough food, but because we have not figured out how to share something to eat with them. And these are the signs, I believe, the signs of the rebellion of the world against God. You see? That's why we talk about, as a community of faith, we talk about and we volunteer at the school, hospital, and food pantry. That's why we go help food bank and rain on the wood sometimes, giving hope to our kids and more places. And we support UMCOR to help people in need. These are our calling to overcome from where we are now. All the signs of rebellion, the rebellion of poverty, bigotry, racism, sexism, violence, war, and abuse, and also we wrestle with on a daily basis, indifference, the suffering of others, cheating, stealing, addiction, gossip, biting, and bullying. And we can name them in other thousands of other names of the rebellion in us and around the world. And we see that the world is not the way it is supposed to be as God created it. And now Jesus says, Jesus announces, the kingdom of God is here. You see? He has come to represent God. He has come to put flesh on God. And the king is right here and walking in our midst. And he says, the kingdom of God is right here. And he says, repent. That is an action step. Once we come to believe that God is really the king of the universe, we repent. Then what does it mean to repent? The word repent in Greek is metanoia, which means the change of our heart, change of our mind, and change of our behavior, and change of our way of living our days, having God's will in the center of our lives. That's the meaning of following God. And we stop treating other people poorly. We stop saying hurtful things to other people. And we think about how we use our time, our talents, and our resources to make the world a better place. That is God's strategy, to bring the kingdom of God in us and beyond our community. And that's the one Jesus speaks to each one of us, to take it seriously. That's the summary of all the teachings of Jesus. And we find it in the Bible, in our belief, in our doctrine, and our faith journey. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the incarnation of God, Jesus Christ. And we talked about the Virgin Mary, and I told you, to me, incarnation, Emmanuel, is much more surprising than Virgin Mary. It's much more surprising than any miracle Jesus performed. Because that says, God knows you. God loves you. You mean to God. You are beloved. And last week we talked about God's will for us. God wants us to be radiant of Jesus Christ. God wants us to become like Jesus. And today we talk about the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants us to take it seriously into our heart. And Jesus wants us to act. And we say, yes. Yes, Lord. So be it. Amen. Once a month, we have the full liturgy of the Holy Communion, and we can find it in your hymnal, page number 15. Next slide, please. And now I invite you to stand to participate in the Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And I love this part. It is right. And a good and joyful things, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Please be seated. Next slide. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
So now, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these precious elements of the Holy Communion. By your Spirit, Lord, make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, we may be the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed
by his blood. Lord, by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. So we have a hybrid communion for those who are feeling okay, comfortable, and willing to come forward and take the bread from one bread. You are welcome to come with your cup. If you feel, oh, I'm not yet there, I just want to wait for a few more weeks, then you may remain sitting in your seat and join the communion. And now you are welcome to come. At the 8 a.m. service, I love this part too. It is time that I invite you to count God's blessing and find a reason to be grateful, something to share. Where did you find God's blessing during the week, and where do you want to celebrate? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amen, amen.